folks. Welcome back to the Biz World Channel, the NBC Network, iHealth Radio, with your host, Hurricane H. New day, new show, different topic. A topic that probably will be interesting to everyone watching and listening right now in the U.S. or outside, because we're going to touch on something that's dear to ours, to ourselves. It's called finances, money, and how to save money and not get tricked in, you know, taxes and all these things, because we just passed tax season, but for most businesses, tax season is never over. It's always going. And if you are an investor and things like that, tax season is still with you. So it doesn't matter if, you know, you filed or you didn't file. It's here. And we need to know. If not, the season will come back again. So with me, someone that can help us, at least guide us through some tricks and tips, give us some tips maybe that can help us, navigate, the intricate world of taxes, so. That's about it. I'm going to actually leave it at that because, I want to ask our guests to give us a little bit of all that. So with me, I have Sally Gimmon. Sally, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a pleasure. And by the way, I didn't state this, but Sally is in the world of real estate and, she's dabbling with that stuff for a few years. Now, I have a little background in that as well, but, not as in depth in terms of what she's been doing and how she's doing it. So we're really going to have some fun today. So again, if you're into the real estate world, or you're interested in getting into it, or investments, and you're not sure how your assets work and how to do this stuff, maybe today is a show you want to pay attention to. So that's all I have to say. So Sally, let's go back to the source. I mean, I know you have not always been in real estate, and so you've done other things. So let's go back to your original, business, life, and then how you got into the real estate world, and what got you really getting into these, little tricks and tips about real estate, because I think something happened to you that made you aware and wise. So let's go there.
That's completely true. October 2018 was my watershed month. Three things happened. I was working full-time as a Medicare broker, and I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and my nephew was getting married in Charlotte, North Carolina. I requested the Friday before the wedding and the Monday after the wedding off because I had friends and family coming in from all over the world. I was denied. I don't know about you, but that stunk. I literally was in Charlotte for 36 hours because I had to be back at work 6 o'clock Monday morning. It was horrible. Number two, my brand new 3-week-old car going to work, major road in Phoenix. Second car threw on a green light. A guy ran the red light, T-boned me on my passenger side, and my car was total. I was upside down by $8,000, and I had to get a second car. So eating ramen noodles, that's what you do in college, not when you're an adult. Then the third thing that happened, my mom and dad drove from Goodyear, Arizona, that's about 20 miles west of Phoenix, to Charlotte, and my mom got septic of the blood. She was on a ventilator for 13 months, in a hospital for 15 months. I was going out to their house once a week to do the mail. In the first week of December, there was a letter that was 27 pages thick, was my mom's statement for the first month in a hospital on a ventilator. Big, bold black letters said it was $72,000. I'm like, wow. Right then and there, in my parents' kitchen, I called my friend Glenn because I had two car loans. I had $184,000 in debt, and I hated my job. And he's just like, Sally, next week we're having a Christmas potluck. Get a $5 gift, bring some food, meet my fellow real estate investors. I don't know about you, Hurricane. Going to a party where you know nobody? Scary. But I did it, and it was the best decision of my life because it changed my life only for the better.
Ooh, Sally, there's a lot that you just stated in those 2 minutes, literally. So I want to just get a few things, because I think what you shared with us, as simple as it sounds, it's deep, right? There's a lot of stuff. First of all, I Medicare is my space and my world, so I share that. But I do have to say, I am really surprised that someone denies you a weekend, to go and spend, on a wedding. Sure. Especially if you're a broker. I mean, I get it if you were maybe a captive agent and working. But again, come on. I mean, really, that's tacky. Whoever it is.
From your lips to God's ears. I'm like, I just, I had the time. And I'm like, I just want these 2 days off. And quite frankly, I worked until 8 o'clock the Friday night before the wedding. Drove myself to Sky Harbor Airport and took a red eye out and landed at 7 o'clock on the day of the wedding. I'm like, this is crazy, but I had a great time at the wedding.
Oh, at least that happened. But the fact that matters, that doesn't take away from, and this is a message to anyone that's leading teams and in my world, I've been a leader in sales in Medicare for since 1996. So I can tell you, you know, it's been a long journey and a lot of, you know, teams and stuff like that. But you know what? You know, you have to be considerate for people. I mean, I always believe that people need their time and they work hard, and you know, it's not going to take anything from you. So if you're a leader out there and someone needs this, you don't know what that means to them. Now, someone can tell me, well, Hurricane, what do you know? We know the performance. They need to perform. We need this. Well, guess what? One day is not going to make the difference, but they can always make it up, right? There's, if you're in sales and you're good at it, guess what? It's 30 days. It's not 20 days. You work when you work. You know, you can make it up. You get an appointment on a weekend, you can make it happen. Because especially as a broker, you're independent. And that's the other thing. As an independent 1099, I'm assuming that was the status?
Correct. I was 1099 and W-2. So I was working for a company, but I was a broker too. It was a weird, made great money. I can't deny that. But I was
there's nothing wrong with that. But again, well, that's an interesting thing because combining both W-2 and W-9 can be a little tricky. You know, there's ramifications, but you're right. It could be possible. But either way, I mean, really, a Friday night to a Monday, you know, it's not a big deal, you know, and listen, I've given people time off for a month when they needed to, you know. I mean, we prorate things and stuff. And here's the thing: you make your people happy, they come back, they deliver more for you. Again, for those of you that are in our world or any other world, I mean, if you have employees, anywhere, you have staff members, you know, be considerate, you know. And yes, you know, I understand the rules. I understand, you know, if someone is chronic and they call you Friday and Monday, all, you know, every week, that's different, right? But come on, I mean, you know. That's just a little cry, I guess, or a little advice, you know, from many years, because it does impact people, you know, how we make decisions sometimes. And always remember, I started as a rep too. So I know how it feels, and I wouldn't want someone to take that away from me. And my vacation time is valuable to me. It is important for people to live their lives and enjoy those moments. And if you make them happy, they'll make you happy. And then they'll make your customers happy, and they'll make you money. See? So it all works out well. But if you suck at it, you know, they're not going to be appreciative to you and for you. And therefore, you might not have them, and you'll lose them. That's how people get, away from companies. And that's about it. Yep. Talent acquisition.
I had been there for 3 years, and I had told them way back when I got to save the date thing. And yeah. I agree. It put a sour taste in my mouth.
But here's the thing. If you put your time in advance, you know, they're supposed to approve it. I mean, you know, it's your time off. You're entitled to your time. They shouldn't have given you a hard time. Again, I'm surprised. I mean, it's really like, you know.
Well, that year, just so since you know Medicare, there was a major change in Michigan, and I was licensed in Michigan. So there was a lot going on because they were doing away with one of the, supplements, or do you do advantage plans with Medicare?
Everything.
So one of the supplements was changing, and we were on a major call campaign for that. So, but yeah, that was 2018. Now I'm my own boss, and I can come and go as I please, and I love it.
Oh, well, listen, you see, that's another thing. You see what happens? Bad things happen, so good things can replace them.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what happened. From a bad thing, a good thing happened. But now let's talk about the other piece. Now, you know, that's another thing. I mean, you're really actually touching on life as it is in the real world. I mean, that's what it is. These things are happening. I've experienced similar stuff. I know that people are watching and listening. And by the way, if you're not in the States and you're in another place, this stuff may be the same thing. It doesn't matter what job you have. We're just talking in the context of, you know, what we do. But really, it could be any type of sales or any other position for that matter. You know, if someone refuses for you to take time off and you've, you know, advanced and asked or you plan for these things, you know, it kind of really shifts a lot of things, but that's we put that to bed now. But the next one is your T-bone, you know, accident, which could happen to anyone as well. Again, you're not a fault of yours. You're driving, boom, somebody crashes into somebody, and then your car is totaled. And now, if you actually buy a new car, know this: the minute it's out of the lot, if you didn't know, guess what? It's about 5,000 to 7,000 off already on the value. Yes. This happened to me. I bought literally a car, brand new. And this was for an opportunity, a business that we started a few years back, because we wanted this vehicle for this idea. Actually, the idea was about like same thing as DoorDash and Uber Eats and stuff. And this was before them, but we just never pushed it, you know, and now we regret it. But that's another story. That's for another day. But the fact is, we got the vehicle and we started testing it, and then we put everything on hold. So I went back to return the vehicle. And the car was, you know, because we paid, you know, cash for it. It was like 17,000. That was the, you know, one of the small Toyotas. And when I went back to the same dealer 60 days later. It was literally parked in the garage, and we weren't sure what we'd do, but then that's it. So it had like maybe less than 1,000 miles on it after we took it back, and they gave me $11,000 for it. That's it. I mean,
$6,000 difference.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't actually give it to them. I went somewhere else and I got another, you know, $12,000 for it. But the fact of the matter is that was the toll that I paid was $19,000 with everything. But so I got, you know, really $12,000 back. So that's the difference. But really, this stuff happens. So when you buy a new car, you know, buy those gap insurances, whatever you need to do to make sure that, you know, you're compensated for those differences, because shit happens. And it can happen to any, you know, one of us. And if you're not prepared, you're really on the downside here. Well, and
sad thing is the paperwork was sitting on the middle of my table. I had 4 weeks to do the paperwork for gap insurance, and it was sitting on my table, and I just hadn't gotten to it yet. And I'm like, you know, silly Sally should have been on top of things. I wasn't.
And by the way, Sally, this is something also for our audiences. Again, this is a great discussion, folks, because these are real things that are happening to people. One more thing that did happen. You don't think that an accident is going to happen just because you bought a new car? Because they do. I had actually a same scenario in my neighborhood, leaving my driveway. And as soon as I turned, my neighbor came back in from his driveway and smashed into my vehicle. It was 1 week old. Okay. Now, luckily, it wasn't total. You know, we were able to fix it, you know, a week later. But it was literally, it had like 30 miles or something. That's that's how new the vehicle was. So, folks, it happens. So this gap insurance things that you mentioned, Sally, it is, you know, something that you can get and get it at the time you are getting your vehicle. You never know when it happens because you will be down. As a matter of fact, you'll be down just by value because that $7,000, $5,000 that's already dropped, you know, plus any few, you know, little miles that you put in there, that's already there. I mean, that's not even if you're not, you know, anywhere close to what you need to do with the money, or if you didn't put, that's the other thing. If it depends how much money you put in, all this stuff is going to affect it. Fact is, you get told, and that's actually what they do now. They toll cars more now than they used to do before. I guess that's the new thing. It's the default. You get enough damage. If the cost is a little higher, they just, you know, I guess have their own insurance that protects them in that realm. But again, buyer beware, as we say. This is just a note that, you know, since you mentioned it, I figured let's just touch on it. Because again, any advice we can share with people from our live experiences, hopefully you don't have to experience this, folks, if you're watching or listening, but these are real things. And then now let's talk about your mom's, you know, dilemma with the care. That's $70,000+ bill a month.
1 month.
Yeah.
My dad was a retired military officer, so they had TRICARE for life, and then they had Medicare. But, you know, at the time, I'm standing in my parents' kitchen. I had an $8,000 deductible on my health insurance. You know, thank God the accident, you know, no ambulance was called, but a bill from health insurance can just absolutely destroy people's lives, unfortunately.
Well, I'm assuming that you said they have Medicare and TRICARE, so they would have
correct.
Had a catastrophic level.
For.
Yeah, so they'll have, you know, the maximum out of pocket a year, whatever, or depends. I guess TRICARE will cover the difference in their case, and so that's it. But for someone who doesn't, as you talked about supplements, those are the folks that buy stuff. It can change everything. I mean, it's as bad as it sounds. And, you know, I mean, we live in the world of insurance, so we can understand some tricks, but it's not always foolproof. I mean, you can still fall into a trap in between. And, you know, if you're overqualified or you're not qualified, if you don't ride the right plan, I mean, sometimes that's what those Medicare Advantage that do work, folks. I mean, because they do have a maximum out of pocket, which means that that's the max you would ever pay in that year, whatever cost that you might incur. So that may help. And then if you have supplemental, that's also works because now you covers all the other bills or whatever, the co-insurance, co-pays and all the stuff. But then, I mean, there's always other things. But yeah, that's just to give you an indication how much that can cost. That's a lot of money, folks. And that's 1 month. You said she was there for many months.
Correct. And just to give you an idea, my dad stayed with my mom for 9 months in the Charlotte area. I came out for Christmas, you know, because Medicare is over with. On Christmas Eve, she was on the floor of 27 patients, all on ventilators. Four different families took their loved one off the ventilator against doctor's orders, because next day, January 1st, they're going to have that deductible if they have a deductible for their health insurance. I mean, the respiratory therapist was in my mom's room, just tears rolling down her face going, I can't believe people did that. And I'm like, That would be horrible to make that decision for your family member, your loved one. I mean, my mom got better. She actually came home for 4 months. She lost 13 months of memory, but she was as sharp as a nail when she came home. And I mean, those 4 extra months were special for me.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm glad you get to spend, you know, quality time with her. And, you know, listen, my mom just came out of the hospital 3 weeks ago, so I can relate to
oh,
her.
Oh, wow.
Now.
How's she doing?
Much better. I mean, she was on, she had a pneumonia, you know, a lung, you know, aspiration or respiratory aspiration problem. So it caused pneumonia for her. But she's, thank God, she's much better. I mean, she's still, you know, not 100%, but 90, you know, she's getting there. But again, nothing close to where your mom was. And you know, but again, I mean, I was referring to the idea that when you have them home and you get to appreciate them more, you know, and
Yes.
So cherish the moment, folks. You know, you never know. It's always a good thing to do. And again, even today, you know, we don't know how this thing, what the outcomes will go. I mean, looks good, feels good, sounds good. You never know, but just every moment is a beautiful time and moment. Take it for what it's worth, folks. But now,
Exactly.
What you said, Sally, is also, again, unbelievable, where someone has to make that decision, because here's my parents' life or my loved ones' lives and the money, because I can't do it, and they have to make that call. That must be some mind game that's going to play on you for the rest of your life, because you never know. You'll be like, with that guilt, were they supposed to still be here if I had left them there? And that question will always be there. I mean, it's going to take some fate and some hardcore belief to actually get away from that. That's a tough one.
I mean, when she came back to Arizona, she was still on a ventilator, and her she had a shared room, and it was two brothers and a sister. And every time the mother had to go to a doctor's appointment, they had to get an ambulance because the mom needed ambulance coverage. $190 to go to the doctor and $190 to come back from the doctor. They fought every time the mom had to go to the doctor's office. I'm like, thank God my dad didn't have to deal with that. I mean, it makes you think, what are you going to do when you get older? What kind of health insurance will you have? Because you've got to figure things out, because you don't know when something bad is going to happen to you.
One does, and you're right. I mean, if you don't have the right insurance, I mean, again, I have to say, I always say this, I enjoyed the work I've done over the last 30 years, because I've helped a lot of people. And yes, it is insurance, and people may think it's shady and stuff. Not the work I've done or you did, because we work with the government programs, and
you just talk to people and give them the tell them
options.
exactly what you're,
Yes.
Here's A, B, and C. Make
That's
the right
it.
Decision for yourself. Yes.
And there's a plan for everyone. And for the most part, your out-of-pocket will still be limited, and, you know, compared to if you didn't. And there's plenty of options, and there's quite a few other add-ons that you can have with little cost or no cost. I mean, so there's quite a bit. So talk to, if you're anywhere watching, listening, you have a parent and they are of age of Medicare, or someone who maybe sometimes Medicare can be also for younger folks with disabilities. So just find out what options you have there. And this is not a Medicare show, but anyways, because I have an expert, and, you know, we love that work. We've done it for many years. It's always good to tell people what they can do. I mean, obviously today we're going to talk about savings and helping people get financial, but this is a good way to also start there, because, I mean, yeah, you'll lose your shirt if you don't have the right insurance, and you got to pay for it. And people lose homes, people, they, you know, or you have a debt that you can't pay. I mean, there's certain ways you can do to reduce it, but, you know, and I've heard stories before. We've had guests on the show that had millions of dollars of bills that they had to figure out a way to actually, you know, reduced to a certain point, and they were able to do that, but that takes a lot. I mean, it's just not an easy world. So,
exactly.
yeah. Well, so now you discovered this meeting of realtors and investors. So let's talk about that. I mean, by the way, you said something that is interesting, that when you go to a meeting and, you know, where you don't know anyone. Yeah, it could be very intimidating and scary, but the good news is you're in sales, you can navigate, you can network, you can, you know, strike a conversation. So you probably did all that and kind of, you know, got you involved in a whole world that was new to you.
Well, to tell you a funny story, Hurricane H, it was in Phoenix. It was going up to a apartment building, and this guy comes up and he knocks on the door, and we introduce each other. His last name is a family name. My mom's from Ireland, and it was from my mom's maiden name. I'm like, huh, we found out we were third cousins, and I'm standing in the middle of Phoenix with a guy I've never met before, who's my third cousin, going to a party that I don't know anybody. I'm like, well, now I have a cousin here. So it was a craziest thing. I mean, it's a joke, but Mike and I are still very good friends. And when my cousin from Ireland came for my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, you know, I came to it, and he's just like, all his family knew my mom's family. It was a small world. That's all I have to say. You never know when you're going to run into somebody you don't know. Or that's you also, do know. You should know.
That is true. I mean, you never know who you're going to bump into somewhere. And you could be on a trip somewhere in the world and you meet someone that you haven't met in years. I'm like, wow. Listen, it is a small world. I mean, that's a
it's
fact.
It's a small world.
Know? It's a fact. Well, so now you manage, you kind of interact with your third cousin, and now you connected the families. But so how did that go? You know, what did you learn in this particular real estate investors?
Well, the first meeting I went to was back in August. Kind of funny, in Phoenix we have things that our storms are called monsoons. They come through with really a lot of wind and everything. The ceiling of the room we were in completely fell apart, and I'm like, these are real estate investors, they have this lousy building. So I went to the party, met several people, started going to meetings every Wednesday night. I bought into the education. I'm watching my education while I'm at work. After open enrollment's over with, it gets very slow. I'm watching my education while I'm at work, and my mentor in my real estate group taught us how to deal with bank-owned properties. You're a real estate investor. You know, when a bank takes back a property, like a foreclosure or a tax lien, they can't hold that. They have to sell the property. So I wholesaled 7 properties nationwide, 2 in Ohio, 1 in North Carolina, 1 in Ohio, 2 in Ohio, 1 in Indiana, 1 in Kentucky, different places. And I was using my self-directed IRA. I would pay my self-directed IRA back, and anything in the profits was my money. So I was doing fantastic. I mean, I paid off $184,000. I had 2 car loans. I had a mortgage. I had student loans. I had credit card debt. I paid it all off in under 8 months. It was fantastic.
Well, hold on a second. You talked about a lot of things there for audiences that may be all new language. So first thing, you're talking about, tax liens and stuff. Now, fact, folks, if you live in the States, and I think for the most part, everywhere around the world, you buy a property, you don't really own the property. You might think you do, because if you don't pay certain things, such as your mortgage, the bank will take it away, such as your taxes, the government will take it away. And you only get a couple of months, for banks, and maybe a couple of months for the government, maybe I think 1 year or 2 years tops, and then your property is in the market. And it doesn't matter how much money you put in, how many years you paid for it, that tax money is what they go after. It could be $10,000 and you paid $500,000. Unless you come up with the $10,000, it will go to auction, and there is a sheriff or, depends on the county, whatever. They will actually auction it, and whoever bids for it takes it. So that's what it is. And those things do go out, and you were able to actually find them. And there are listings out there, folks. I mean, there are listings everywhere about these properties. Now, with the current economy, it's a little tougher, different. I mean, if you have the money, you can certainly pick up. And a lot of billionaires out there and people with money, this is what they do. Now, I mean, I've been in real estate, and I had my time where I did some investments, and I kind of gave up that for a while ago, and I wasn't able to come back to it because, again, it takes some capital, some tricks to get there, at least to invest in those properties. But it was worth it at the time. And, this was like in early 2000s, before the crash. And, unfortunately, we sold everything before it got better. And so we could have made a lot more money at the time. But again, mistakes happen, and we learn from our mistakes, as we say. It's not a failure.
Learn from your mistakes. You'll do exactly. I mean, I wish I was in real estate when the crash happened. 2018, everything in Phoenix, the prices, the house next door to me, someone bought it for $5,000. I sold my house for $350,000. I mean, how do you buy a house for $5,000? I wish I had known about real estate before when that crash happened.
That's a good opportunity.
Yes.
But exactly.
Something I missed.
Well, again, sometimes it's the time, sometimes the money, it's all about timing. Everything is just got, sometimes they all have to add up, and when they do, everything works out, and sometimes it's just not meant to be. So, but again, anybody that is into the world of finances, or at least, investments, I mean, there's hits and misses and stuff. But there's a lot of, we're talking about auctions. I mean, they have apps actually. Literally, I think there's auction.com or something. It's an app where you can actually find parcels and lots and properties, that are being auctioned literally around the nation. So, and again, these tricks can be also portable to other places around the world. I mean, depends where you are. These things are working. And the reason I'm addressing this is just because the show is worldwide. But if you're interested in the States, this is the tricks. You know, this is what how it works. Now, so you learned these tricks. So you said you bought into the courses, you learned the stuff, and you started to apply. But now you said you put all that stuff in the IRA. So let's break that down to our audiences.
So I had worked for an insurance company called USAA for 14 years before I became a Medicare broker. And my money was still sitting in the IRA there. And one of the things they taught me in my real estate group is how to self-direct your IRA. So I had Roth money, which is after-tax dollars, and I had traditional IRA money. So I was able to self-direct two different self-direct IRAs, but I had to make sure I paid myself back, or else, because if you're under 59 and a half, you have to pay tax a 10% fee on top of it. So, you know, I have a whole lot more money in my traditional IRA than I do in my Roth IRA. But within my Roth IRA, I had put as much real estate as I can in that, because as it grows, I don't have to pay taxes on any of it. But yeah, it was a fantastic way to use money. I mean, one of my deals, I'm not trying to crow, but it was a six apartment unit in Norwich, Connecticut. I got for $178,000. I wholesaled it the next day for $4 million and, you know, put the money. I had to pay back the $178,000, and then the rest of the money was mine.
Wow. And that's, listen, you know, that's what happens, right? You know, one night you're on this side, the other is on that side. You just got to take some steps, right? And learn to, by the way, but I love what you said about the IRAs and how they work, and that you can actually direct them differently. And you were able to filter your real estate money into them and cover that. So this way it's not, subject to the penalties, because I can tell you folks, if you do take your money early on, you will have to pay taxes. Not only have to pay the actual percentage of the taxes, but you also pay the penalty. I happen to have made that mistake a long time ago. Again, talking about mistakes, now I'm open book here to share some of the bad things I've done, but I had to pay. I mean, I owe like, I forgot it was like, I had to make a deal with the IRS to actually make payments plan for like 3 years before I was able to get rid of that penalty. So it adds up, folks, you know, and again, consult. Sometimes you make decisions without, you know, asking the right folks, and that's what happens. You pay the price. So I did it before I consulted with my accountant, and next thing you know, my accountant says, "Well, now you got to pay." And okay, so let's talk. Let's see what we can do. And so there is a way out, but you know, certainly I could have avoided that if I did it differently or took that money and put them in a more protected way. But I didn't, so that was my mistake.
And you're not alone. So many people do get in trouble for that. I mean, one of the things, because you're a Medicare broker, do you ever deal with somebody who's turning 65 and getting Social Security, and all of a sudden they garnish their paycheck because they haven't paid off their student loans from 30 years ago? I mean, I dealt with that at least once a week. That to me is shocking.
Oh, well, so that's a topic. That's a hot topic, right? We hear about it in the news, like student loans going to be waived and all the stuff, whatever. But here's the fact is, you know, they don't go away, those student loans. So if you took, you know, a loan, they would.
I don't know where that stands right now, but again, I paid off all least, my
as far as
undergraduate
I know,
and graduate school. Yes.
Well, again, but I mean, as far as I know, it's still a pain, and it sticks with you unless you figure out a way to, you know, get rid of it. But yeah, here's the thing. I mean, unfortunately, we live in a nation where you start with that, and that pretty much follows you through your life if you don't know how to manage it, and it's very difficult. And at many times, believe me, even I made good money, and you know, up and down, and you know, sometimes you get stuck again in debt, and you got to get yourself out of the debt. And, it takes time. It ruins your credit, and there's all kind of stuff that comes with it. It's almost a game, folks. We just gotta, you know, especially for our young folks watching or listening right now, just ask people, you know, before you get into the trap. I mean, it's a super trap, and you will be literally just like, you know, glued into it, and it's very hard to come out of it if you don't know how to do it or you have, you know, the help that you need. So anyway, so those are, again, you know, as you're just talking, I'm just, you know, capturing a couple of things that you state, and, you know, kind of advance some advice, you know, just based on personal experiences. But this stuff is real, right? So but again, there are ways. And, you know, so your course was specifically how to invest in, you know, distressed properties or like, you know, foreclosures, right, or banks.
Mentor, Jay Tenenbaum, yeah, he had, this goes back to the 2018 crash. I just forgot the company's name. Bank of America bought up all the titles were really messed up. So we figured out how to clear a title So the apartment building didn't even know who they were supposed to be paying their mortgage to, and that's how they got behind. And it took a few extra steps to clear the title, but I had to go back and make sure everything was notarized correctly and everybody, each owner was told what was happening. But my mentor, Jay Tannenbaum, he helped me do a whole lot of real estate. He retired from it, and I wish he would still be here because I'd still be doing real estate with him.
So what else do you learn in this journey? Because it seems that you have a lot of stuff to share with us today.
Well, one of the things I did in July of 2020, one of the bank-owned properties I got was a bank-owned reverse mortgage house in North Carolina. My mom's still in the hospital in North Carolina, so my philosophy was I'll fly out to see the property, write it off my taxes so I could visit my mom in the hospital. So when the house finally went to auction, August 28th of 2021, I knew I paid $20,000 for the house. I knew it was going to go to auction for $50,000. So I knew that $30,000 spread without lifting a hammer, my capital gains, short-term capital gains, would be $7,110 on that. Well, when it went to auction, I was told nobody bought the house. And I'm like, oh, is it my house now? And they're like, no, it's going through upset bids. And I'm like, what the heck's an upset bid? North Carolina is a very strange state. Have you ever done an auction house or an auction?
I've been to them, but yeah.
Well, any place else in the country, you go to an auction, you bid up the house, everyone bids. Whoever's the winner has to pay for the house either that day or they have 24 hours to pay for it. No. There's 101 counties in North Carolina, and you have to know which county you're in. It's either 10 business days or 10 calendar days. You have to do it in person. And if, like, let's say you won a house for $10,000, congratulations. I can go into the county and pay them $10,750. And now I've won the house, and that 10-day window becomes my window too. So my house got sold in August, and I didn't finally, the upset bids kept going and going and going. The final upset bid happened on December 14th, and it went up to $64,598. So I made $44,985. I made great money on it. But the more important thing, during that time, during COVID, I researched the Spendthrift Trust and I moved it from my LLC into the trust. So all the profit I made on it, it was my money. And then I didn't have to pay capital gains on that, my short-term capital gains. So I got to save over $10,350 in capital gains on that one prop, my first property in the trust.
But let's talk about that. Spendthrift Trust. So that's what it's called. Now, you're referring to capital gains, which is if you buy a house, I think you have a period of time, in some states it's 6 months, I think, or less.
Anything that you buy, it doesn't even have to be a house. It could be a baseball card. It could be one of my clients refurbishes furniture. She got in trouble. She got audited by the IRS. That's why she got the trust. So it could be anything you buy and sell at a profit, you'll pay capital gains.
You go. Well, again, that was just in the context of real estate, but actually that's a learning thing for me too, because I thought that was more a real estate thing when you talk capital gains in real property. But I guess it affects everything that you're dealing with. I mean, if you're a middle person buying and selling and flipping, you got to pay the, listen, Uncle Sam's going to get paid, right? So,
Uncle Sam wants your money. Yes.
Yeah. Got to pay the dues, right? Well, so now, what you're stating is that if you create this Spendthrift Trust.
Spendthrift Trust.
You can take the money and push it in there, and then now you don't have to pay capital gains. Basically, it Correct. Shelters that money. Now, Correct. Anyone can open this? Or how does it work?
It's a very specialized trust. The full name, so your listeners have it, is Irrevocable, Complex, Discretionary, Non-Grantor, Spendthrift Trust. All five elements are very special. Irrevocable means it goes from generation to generation. Today in the United States, 97% of all trusts sold are what's called a family trust or a living trust. My mom and dad had this. Susie Orman talks about this on PBS television. The living trust only avoids going through probate and then dissolves and goes away. So like my parents had it. I couldn't use their trust to do my real estate or anything like that when, it goes away. Complex. This trust can hold money day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, decade to decade. The law firm I work on behalf of inherited a trust that turned 350 years old in 2023, so century to century. My parents' trust or the family trust, when it dissolves, all the money has to be dished out to the family members however they want to do that. Third element, irrevocable, complex, discretionary. Whoever is the trustees can make the rules for the beneficiaries, and after the trustee passes away, there's no contesting the will. There's nobody can complain about it because the trustee has the power over the beneficiaries. Fourth element, non-grantor. This makes the trust 100% private. Someone who's not a beneficiary signs up to be the settlor, the person who starts the trust. They're the trustee for 5 minutes, and then they sign themselves away. It makes the trust completely private, so nobody knows what you have, where you own it, what you do, how much you make, or anything like that. And then the fifth element, the spendthrift, has been in front of the U.S. Supreme Court on two different occasions. Both times, the Supreme Court has honored the spendthrift trust. It's in the IRS tax code 643B. So this trust is exactly what the Rockefellers have. When our tax code went into effect in February of 1913, the super rich families made sure they could save taxes. And that's what I researched for 5 months, because when I found out I owed the government so much more than I planned on, because my tax bracket went from 22% up to 24%, I researched the Rockefellers Trust and several other trusts, and I found the Benson Financial Trust. Paul Benson was a Harvard Law professor 76 years ago. He wrote five different trusts, and they've never been audited. And the law firm is now his grandson and great-grandson. They give you a certification saying if you get in trouble or if the IRS questions you, they'll defend you free of charge. They've only had to do it once, and no trust has ever been audited. And it's an amazing thing. I'm able to save so much money with both my business and my beneficial spendthrift trust.
Thank you. I did actually have a specialist in trust, on a show series a couple years ago. And he might still come back. And we've touched on a lot of stuff, but not this particular one. And so that's something definitely to bring back to him, when he comes back. But certainly, as you said, all the big families or the people with the real money out, that it's generational wealth, right? It's protected. Right. And it is known fact that these trusts are very private. As you said, no one can tell how much their worth is and stuff like that and what they own, because it's all covered. And, it just cannot, know what's in there. I mean, except the trustees, as you said, and that's about it. So it's a very interesting world, that we live in. And if you know how these things work, I mean, certainly if you have the wealth, you might as well look into how it's, and the advice of my friend who actually did, the show with us, was that you have to have one. If you have some money and you have family and you have things and you have heirs, it's worth to have a trust, because he gave the examples of when we don't, as you said, there's probate, in the courts and stuff, and you can't do things, and you got to wait, and the money is locked, and people can change things on you, and sometimes the court can give equal share to someone else that if there's no will in place. I mean, it just gets so much tricky. I'm not a lawyer, but that's just some of the stuff I gathered from the discussion with my legal, guest. But really, it's pretty cool stuff to know these things. And hey, listen, the more we know, the better we are, just to navigate the system. Yeah,
that's my goal. I want to teach people. Hey, here, there's a solution. If it's not right for you now, maybe 2 years from now, but at least you know the solution.
So, beneficial trust versus business trust. You kind of mentioned that. So
the business trust, the business trust is for U.S. business owners and 1099 income earners. You will save at least 90% on your federal income taxes, and then 43 states no longer pay state income taxes. I mean, my clients are saving thousands of dollars. I have a free course on The Great Discovery. If you just go out to www.sallygimmon.com, you'll get to my free course, and there's a chart there that shows all 50 states. And someone who files single, because there's four ways to file your taxes: single, head of household, married jointly, married separately. Single's the most expensive way. I'm single, and I have to do this. But every state, it will show you how much you'll save in federal and state taxes. There's seven states. Don't ask me all seven, but South Dakota, Nevada, Texas, and Florida, and several other states have no state income taxes. But to give you an idea, Hurricane, you're in New Jersey. With the business spendthrift trust, you would save at least $14,295 every single year with the business spendthrift trust. That's your money. Pay off your mortgage, buy a new car, save for retirement, take your family on a vacation, give to charity. It's your money to save. The first page of the IRS tax code says it's up to each individual to save as much money as they can. And that's why I'm so glad you had me on your podcast, because I would love to tell more people about this.
Oh, well, hold on. You just, like, my eyes get open, you know, a little bigger than what they are when I hear these things. So especially you talked about Jersey, and I know we get taxed. So I guess everybody gets taxed, but basically you start a business like an LLC. Is that what it is? How does this work? I mean, for
actually,
someone,
it won't have an LLC, because that's statutory. What you do in New Jersey, you can get an LLC in New Jersey, and I can get an LLC in North Carolina. We have different laws because different states. This is on the federal level, so it won't have any LLC, S corp or C corp in it. But the federal court, the federal taxes overtake the state taxes. I'm here in North Carolina for the past 2 years. I don't pay any North Carolina taxes. They don't know I'm here. My cars are registered through the trust at the DMV. That's everything's in the trust, not in my own name.
So you basically, but how do you start this trust? I mean, in terms of, like, you go through a legal, you know, proceeding.
Correct.
And okay, so you hire a lawyer.
So the law firm has the copyright on the Benson Financial Trust, what Paul Benson, the Harvard law professor, wrote. You know, it's now his grandson, great-grandson who do it. There are different trusts out there. You know, I just know the Benson Financial Trust. That's all I talk about. But you're going to get a new EIN or employee identification number. You're going to get a letter to open up a new bank account. And like with that one property I was telling you about, the bank-owned reverse mortgage, I had it in my LLC. I did two bill of sales, one from my LLC to me in my own name, second bill of sale from my own name into the trust name. I went to the bank. I got them notarized. I handed my banker $10 because I had that in my wallet, $10. He wrote a thing that money was considered, handed it back to me, went back to my house, scanned the two. I'm living in Phoenix at this time. I scanned the two bill of sales, sent them to the attorney in Raleigh, North Carolina. Next day, the attorney in Raleigh, North Carolina asks me for the first page of the trust. I scanned that, sent it to him too. It got moved into the trust. And I started my trust in September. So let's say it was September 12th, but let's just use that date. And when it finally went to auction, August 21st, it was in the trust and all the paperwork had the trust name on it. It was, I mean, maybe an hour of my time, you know, Googling bill of sale, driving to the bank, getting it notarized, and then scanning it to save $10,385. It was well worth my hour of time.
Well, that was for that particular property, but anything else can go. Like, you can put anything else in it, right?
Correct. So, well, like one of my houses, so the beneficial trust, we talked about the business trust for U.S. business owners and 1099 income earners. The beneficial trust is going to save the following five taxes year after year, generation after generation. You'll no longer pay short-term or long-term capital gains. Interest income, if you're a passive investor or doing creative financing or seller financing, you'll no longer pay dividend income taxes if you're in the stock market, a day trader, an options trader. You will no longer pay rental income taxes if you have Airbnbs, five doors, 10 doors, commercial property, or multifamily property. You can still take depreciation or do cost averaging. And then finally, you will not pay royalty income taxes anymore. So my last house that I won here, an upset bid, you know, the market has changed. People, you know, the interest rates are in 7%. So I did seller financing. The family, she has an online job. She's a digital marketer. Her husband's working in, what do you call it? He works in a restaurant. He's a district manager. But the wife's job is too new. They just moved down here from Long Island. So they paid me $20,000 that's non-refundable. The house I got, the upset bid, I won it for $250,000. Zillow says it's worth $365,000. I'm going to sell it to them in 2 years. So November of 2025, I'm going to sell it to them for $310,000. They're going to get equity already with that. She handed me $20,000. That's non-refundable. And they're paying $2,000 a month to live there. So this is all going towards to get the house. In November of 2025, she either will get her own bank loan and then take over the house and pay me off. She will either pay me $20,000 again and stay in the house for another 2 years, or they will move out. So if she gets her own bank loan and everything else, I'm going to save, this is interest income because it's creative financing, I'm going to save over $57,000 in interest income taxes on this one house. I mean, this is just one of the deals I've got going there. I've got three other houses just like that since then.
So it sounds like a rent with option to buy to, and you lock the price in and all the stuff, and then they'll keep paying towards it. A percentage Correct. Or 100%, depends on what the deal is, goes into the actual equity for the house, and then they kind of lock the price. But then if they're not ready, you can continue a renewable. And then eventually, if they get their own financing, it's done. So you kind of work with them to own their house while they're, believe it or not, my first house, I did that. So it's true fact. I actually bought my first house through this, you know.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
So, that stuff works, folks. Again, I mean, you know, someone can say, Hurricane, you have the answers. You've done it all. Yes, actually, I've done quite a bit, especially, you know, when you have a few decades in life, you know, you do get through. And when you're like going crazy and doing all kinds of things, you know, always trying, you know, different things to see how it works. But again, if you want a house, I mean, I've, you know, that's the probably one of the easiest. You find someone that's willing to work with you. And the advantage, as you said, Sally, is that if the value of the house right now is, you know, 310, you tell them, you know, we're not going to hold that value. We're going to keep that value. So next year, if it's 500,000, they get it, you know, at a better place and you're ahead of the game. So it's okay. And they're going to pay more rent anyway. So might as well get that money towards their home. And there's a good thing. I mean, you are the landlady for them anyways right now. So you kind of fix a little bit, whatever needs to be fixed, unless you put some.
Oh, no. I have it in the contract. It's all
okay,
their
good.
Problems.
All right. Good. So again, just for the audiences, because sometimes right. that's the advantage of you being the because you do have the option, and you typically they have the option not to do it, but they'll lose the money if that's the case, because that becomes rent. So I mean, there's different things, but I mean, you certainly with lawyers and stuff, you can tweak these deals, and they're real and stuff. But what I love what you said is that money, all that profit that you're making, technically, you know, all those taxes you don't have to pay, because they're not paying you, they're paying your beneficial trust, right? That's what they did.
Correct.
So you don't use an actual business trust. You just use a beneficial trust for yourself.
That's the beneficial trust. I have three online businesses that I run. You know.
Okay, so you use the other ones for the other stuff.
Correct. So, true story. I'm at Walmart getting an oil change. My beneficial trust is paying for the oil change. The three things the beneficial trust does not pay for are your food, fun, and fashion. You can do what's called a demand letter against your properties, but I have a red debit card for my beneficial trust, and I have a blue debit card for my food, fun, and fashion. So I'm at Walmart getting an oil change, and I'm buying my food. The kid behind the counter called me Nemo because I'm using two different cards. So I'm like, trust me, I know what I'm doing. I want to save as much as I can. I mean, I still have to pay. I shop in South Carolina because there's less taxes in South Carolina than North Carolina, but I still have to pay food tax. I still have to pay gas tax, other things, but you know, saving both in 2022 and 2023 with my business trust, I saved 92% on my federal income taxes and paid no North Carolina state income taxes. I only had to pay 8%, and I'm happy to pay only 8%.
This is an amazing thing. And this is not just in the Carolinas. This is everywhere, like 50 states.
Each state has its own. This is my story, correct.
Right. But now, so for people that are watching, I mean, sometimes like, well, how much does it cost to start these things? I mean, what would you tell
them?
Great
question. One-time fee for one trust. Most of my clients either go with the business trust or the beneficial trust. One-time fee is $20,000. If you 6 months down the line, 2 years down the line, you want the other trust, there is a little bit of discount. It's $17,000. But just to give you an idea, if you're, you know, because you're in real estate, if you're fix and flipping a house and make $50,000 on that house, if you're at 22%, you will pay $11,000 in capital gains. If you're at 24% tax rate, you'll pay $12,000 in capital gains. So one trust, you know, you do two flips in 1 year, you paid for the trust, and it goes from generation to generation to generation. You just set up future generations that they'll have a picture of you up over their fireplace saying, thank you, Hurricane H, for setting up this trust for me.
Well, so here's a question. So technically, as you materialize a deal, and you know your profit margin, and you make in a certain amount, you can certainly, you know, just think about it this way. I'm going to take a chunk of this and put it into a trust, and now I'm protected going forward.
Right.
So any other, you know, you know, next deal will still be undercover. All the deals coming up will be under there. You just have to position them in a way where the trust is purchasing and not you personally. And so that's it. And I love what you said. So again, it does have a bank account. It does have everything. You basically have access to your funds. But, you know, now, so this is the question that probably, you know, someone can ask, like, well, there's supposed to be a trustee that handles all this, you know, so you have to also appoint someone, right?
Correct. I am the trustee. I am the trustee of both my trusts, correct?
Okay.
We do suggest you have an associate trustee. My bank accounts are with Wells Fargo because I have family. I have a brother living in Singapore. I have a niece in Poland. I have another niece up in Alaska. I mean, all of my
relatives. You want to bank international?
Part of the trust. Correct. So Wells Fargo is wherever they are. Wells Fargo made me have an associate trustee in case I get hit by a lightning or hit by a bus before I could open up the account. That's what they. So my nephew who got married in North Carolina, he's the oldest of all the I've got 11 nieces and nephews. I said I have to talk to him because, you know, he doesn't know what I'm signing him up for, and he's just like, okay, I'll be the associate trustee if you get hit by lightning or whatever happens to you. So they know who to go to if something happens. It's, if you know how to work with an LLC, it's the same thing. It's very easy to use. I still am using, for my food, fun, and fashion, I'm still using my 2015 car that I bought for $27,500. That's the price of the car. I'm still using that to run off my food, fun, and fashion with a demand letter, which is part of the trust, to do what you want. So this house that I was telling you about with the seller financing, I can do a demand letter up to $250,000, even though I'm going to sell it for $310,000. But, you know, I don't have to spend that much money on food, fun, and fashion.
But you find a way to really circumvent everything, you know, legally. And, you know, it's funny because people say, well, these are loopholes. Well, these are laws, actually. These are
laws.
Yeah, they're in effect.
IRS tax code 643B. I mean, it.
Repeat that one more time.
643B, like Bravo.
Right. So, folks, you can search it out, you know, and just click there and learn, you know, about it. But again, ultimately, you do want to get, you know, all legal stuff. You don't want to have to consult with an attorney, you know, some people. And by the way, it could be anybody.
You want to go with a reputable company. True story. I do a lot of podcasts, and I talked to a real estate group, and one of the gentlemen made an appointment with me, and he goes, well, I have this person in Atlanta who, I'll be honest, it was a Frankenstein trust that they put together. He sent it to me, and the attorney who's going to, if he gets in trouble, is not a trust attorney. He's just a regular attorney. And I'm like, oh, you've got 14 Airbnbs. If someone tries to sue you and it all falls apart, you could lose everything. I mean, the law firm, I'll be honest, the law firm's name is Rosen & Rosen, that, you know, because it changed because of the family. They have four trust attorneys. They have, you know, who know how to defend a trust. I can honestly say I feel confident selling this. I sold 14 trusts in my real estate group last year. I know my friends in my real estate group got the best product out there for them. I mean, I don't want them to come back and say, Sally, you ripped us off. I don't want to ruin friendships, if that makes sense.
Agreed. And again, as you said, I mean, people can do their own due diligence and look for a trust specialized, you know, trust attorney, or they can obviously, you know, go to you and you have a company that's already vetted out and, you know, they know what they're doing. And again, that's the thing. The key here is you need to do it right. And if you have some wealth, and you know that you're going to be making good money, then it's worth protecting it. And it's very important, because if not, you're going to be taxed left and right, and that's all there is, and you're going to pay. And I love what you said about the brackets. The more you make, the more the brackets shift. Right. And, you know, then your rates are different, and so on and so forth. Your deductions are different, all that stuff. And knowing how to play, as you said, the business one versus actually if you have an online business or a corporation, then that goes into this pool. And if not, everything else goes to the other. And both of them are worth it. Now, I mean, what I heard is like, what is it, like 37,000 to have both? Is that between the two?
Correct. Right? Correct. And most people only have one because they don't want it. I just want to give you, this is somebody who I talked to last week. So give me one second. I'm going back to my notes.
Sure.
Husband and wife, they're in Texas. She's a stay-at-home mom. They've got three young children. Husband makes $75,000 a year. Congratulations to them. They're at 12%. She became a digital online marketer. In the first 5 months of 2024, she sold $100,000 worth of products online. Fantastic. Way to go. She increased her taxes from 12% to 22%. So their state taxes, Texas doesn't have Texas doesn't have state tax. It went from $8,536 for a full year to $28,000. If she continues doing what she's doing for the next 7 months and does another $100,000, which I hope she does, I hope she does more than that, but she's going to increase them to 24%, and their taxes are going to go up to $52,085. She hasn't bought the trust yet. She and her husband are thinking about it, but if she buys the trust, we're going to save her over $10,895 for the rest of 2024, because I can't do what she's already done, you know, for the first 5 months. But then every year afterwards, she will save $34,106 a year. That's her money to pay off their mortgage, buy a new car, do whatever she wants with it. And she's just like, well, can I retire my husband? I'm like, you can do whatever. If your husband wants to become a digital marketer, he can do it too. So
I love her spirit.
Yeah. Well, one child's in school. Two kids are too young to go to school. One's going to go to kindergarten next year. And she's like, I love being a stay-at-home mom. That was her dream, to be a stay-at-home mom. And she's living it. I mean, she's making great money doing what she's doing, and she gets to spend the time with her kids.
Thank you. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, yeah, I mean, as a business person, you're doing good and you want to do more and more. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you're going to make $100,000 and pay $50,000 out of it, whatever, you know, then you basically out of that. But if you're only paying $15,000 or $20,000, you're saving $30,000, you know, additional. So now you can enjoy the $80,000, and it's your money, and it's already, you know, done. It's covered. It's yours, as you said. You know, kids are going to college. You can pay for a good tuition there, whatever. Right. So and you can, again, maybe it's a retirement plan, whatever. I mean, it's your cash flow, right? So you can buy property and flip it and do all this stuff and put it back again. There's more things, right?
Keep flipping it and keep using the money. One of my clients, this is back in 2023. He's a fix and flipper. He's got a crew in Victorville, California. He was looking at this and he's like, I don't know if I want to do this or not. Well, what he did, his crew, he couldn't use them all the time because he had to have all this money saved up. So in Victorville, California, first house, he was at 24%. He saved $12,000, made it at $50,000. Now in 2023, instead of just doing four fix and flips per year, he did seven fix and flips last year. And now in 2024, he's on track to do seven fix and flips again this year. And because he's got more money to put into it, the money's more accessible for him, if that makes sense. Yes. And then I have an affiliate program, and he's telling other fix and flippers at Home Depot, hey, you got to talk to Sally. Here's my link. You know, and he gets paid because he sends you more clients.
Oh, listen, well, we should have that on the description of the show. So, hey, you never know. People, you can also make money here.
Exactly.
Why not? Save money and make money. That's not a bad deal, right?
People think he's crazy, but because of him, I have five new clients. So he's gotten paid each time for those five new clients.
Word of mouth, the old and the most ancient way of doing business and marketing yourself. And it works because people tend to buy when they see real results from, you know, from your trusted people, right?
Exactly.
So now on the capital gains, right? Is there a time frame that you have to hold on, let's say, in the property specifically? If you buy a property today and you sold it.
There's a difference between short-term, which is a year or less, and then long-term, which is a year or more. So short-term capital gains are taxed just like your income, seven different layers, depending on your tax bracket. So I use 24% for myself because that's where I was when I start the trust. Long-term capital gains, anything over a year, will either be 15 or 20%. At the end of April, a gentleman, he and his brothers built the restaurant 42 years ago. They sold it as is for $3 million. At 15%, he's going to save $460,000. And at 20%, he's going to save $600,000. That's six figures for his retirement. He's 69, his wife's 68. And she knew about the trust. She didn't know how much they're going to be saving, but they wouldn't have to pay those taxes until April 15th of 2025 because they sold it April 30th of 2024. So like a year later, they'd have to come up with that money. And she's like, our business broker didn't tell us about it. Like, well, now you know how much you're going to save. And the business broker talked to the gentleman who bought the restaurant, and he got paid an affiliate because the gentleman who bought the restaurant has six other restaurants and saving 1099 income everywhere. So I love my job. I make people happy.
Oh, well, certainly. Well, here's the thing. So they sold the house, I mean, the restaurant, April of 24. They will have to pay in April of 25, right?
Correct. If they didn't have the beneficial trust, they'd have to pay that money at April 15th, 2025, when the taxes come due.
So the question is, and is it still permissible to get the trust past the point of buying, or you have to have it before you buy? You know, meaning,
well, what we did for them.
Okay.
Correct. What we did for them was we set up the trust. They got the new bank account. They got the EIN number. They didn't pay for the trust until they got paid for the restaurant, but they ran the restaurant through the trust because we knew we were going to save them so much money.
The trust is the one that sold basically the property.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So you have to have the trust in effect when you do the deal. Otherwise, it will not be able to account. So you won't be able to. Exactly. So again, for audiences, the idea is that if you're looking at a big deal, then get your trust. And when you collect the money, you can certainly work a payment plan to get that money paid to you guys. But at least you have the structure to actually get in, you know, into the system accordingly, so you qualify for the deal or for the tax savings.
And you know, it was very interesting because his son saw a video on TikTok and said, my parents are selling the restaurant. I mean, the father's just like, I've never heard their business broker, Sam. He's just like, I don't know anything about this. So I sent them all the information. Again, my free class out on the Great Discovery, there are three articles from Forbes magazine that each article talks about you need to be making, have at least $3 million. But, you know, the average person joining my national real estate group is a 56-year-old man who wants to start doing real estate for the next 9 years so they get money for their retirement. Why not save the taxes that go along with it?
It makes sense. I mean, if it is a trick and you can, I think the most concern will be like how to come up with $20,000, $17,000. But if you are looking at a deal that is definitely, you know, $20,000 plus, I mean, you can absorb that year one. And especially if you're going to do more deals, then you know that you're just going to be in a game. Now, ultimately, if your deal is you're going to make $5,000, you know, that's a different story, right? You know, why would I pay $17,000 for $5,000? Like, you know, I'll just pay $1,000 for whatever percentage. So it all have to add up in math. But if you're really into this investment, you know, concept, and you're going to talk big numbers, then it's worth, you know, the investment so you can cover. I mean, that's just, you know, math 101, simple stuff. But now on the same note, the idea of the capital gain, you set it up, you get it done, you get it, you know, to operate, and then many deals, doesn't matter any year, any time, any month, it's all under the same, right? So you don't have to keep creating. It's one trust for all.
One trust goes generation to generation. If you're familiar with the 1031 exchange that in real estate, where you can save the capital gains each time you do a real estate deal, I have talked to 17 adult children whose parents are either incapacitated or have passed away, that they all of a sudden get this bill. They're like, what the heck is this for? And they're like, oh, your parents were doing the 1031 exchange. And when you sold that investment property, all those capital gains came due at that time. I mean, if you don't keep doing it, it comes back at you. With the worst case scenario, let's say you get a trust and your great, 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 great grandson decides he no longer wants this trust and he cancels the trust. He cancels it. I'm using the date, November 15th, 2929. Let's say, wait, so far in the future.
Okay.
It doesn't come back because the transactions go by the date that they happened in the trust that never comes due. Worst case scenario, if Congress, and I'm not trying to be political, but Congress can't even decide who's going to be the secretary of the House representative. But if Congress decides to change tax code 643B, I won't be able to sell any new trusts. But my trust, it's contract law, So my trust is between me and the law firm, and my personal business trust and my personal beneficial trust. It will still be good for generations and generations. I just got a brand new grandniece, so now we're four generations in the family trust.
Wow, very nice. So one question. Is there an actual limit, like, you know, a qualifier number, you know, for capital gains, just in this note? Like, let's say you sell something, you said anything, but is there a limit where you don't have to pay, or it doesn't matter if it's a dollar?
Well, if you're selling your personal residence, so if you're married, you can claim at least, if I get these numbers wrong, don't hate me, but you can claim at least $50,000 in capital gains, won't affect you. If you're single or you're divorced and you're selling a personal property, it's $25,000 in capital gains. Quite frankly, one of my clients here, they got the senior trust. Well, you were talking about Medicare earlier. There's five different trusts. There's the business trust, the beneficial trust, the senior trust for people who are over 65. If you make too much money, Social Security, pensions, 401k withdrawals, maybe you're fiddling around with Forex or crypto or something like that. If you make more than $91,000 a year, you could be affect your Part B of your Medicare. It's called IRMA. Part B is your doctors and your medical tests. I might have the numbers incorrect right now, but you're paying, I think, every single month $166 for Part B. When you have to pay it out of pocket, it's $895 for the husband, $895 for the wife. So it could be really, really expensive if people don't know this. But the gentleman was selling his house here in North Carolina. He and his wife bought this house for $30,000 back in 1971. They were selling the house for $490,000. And, you know, the father is going into assisted living care. So they got the trust because there was going to be capital gains on that, you know, because, you know,
money,
his wife
difference.
Had passed away, but there was too much money involved. So it's a blind trust for the senior, but all the money's in the bank account is going to pay for him to be in the assistant living. He fell and broke his hip. It's going to pay for him to be in the assistant living. And the daughter's like, we were going to have to pay so much money for selling that house. I mean, it's a three bedroom, two bath brick house here in North Carolina. And so many people moved down here from Long Island. I didn't think it was worth $495,000, but that's what they got for it.
Oh, this stuff works. I mean, it certainly can help. Yes. But thank you for answering that, because for someone who is married and they just sell in their own primary residence, you know, they pretty much shelter to a certain point, right? I mean, unless you make, you know, a lot of profit. So if the profit,
one of my friends, I know him from college. He and his wife were down, I forget what the island is off of Tampa Bay. It was a townhouse they bought 9 years ago, and they got it for like $350,000. She was getting transferred up to Cleveland, and they sold it for $1.2 million. And he's just like, cool, we're going to the closing table in 3 days. Can we save the cat? And I'm like, let's get you into the trust right now. And we were able to do that. And when they went up to Cleveland, not making fun of Cleveland, but they have a beautiful house up there that's worth less than $400,000. I mean, what they had in Tampa was a townhouse. Up there, they have this McMansion up there.
They have money and they have savings.
Wow. Correct. I mean, they didn't spend all the money they made for the sale of their townhouse, but, you know, we were able to, I think we saved them something like $72,000 in, because they had lived there for 9 years, but, you know, they never knew their place had gone up so much in 9 years.
Oh, it's, listen, I mean, at the end of the day, money is money. So after all the your fees and all the stuff, they still made quite a bit of money. So the way I look at it, that's all profit. I mean, you know, it's like you would have paid somebody, at least you pay $17,000 and you're safe. And now, not only now they're safe, but all their stuff, whatever the deals they make, they can just dump into that and never have to worry about it.
My friend Roger, he does Forex investing. If you're a Forex investor, anyone who's listening, you get taxed both capital gains and interest income taxes. So all his Forex investing is now through the trust, and he's saving so much money doing that too. I've never gotten to Forex investing.
Also, just for our audiences, so, you know, that's foreign exchange, right? So I think that's
correct.
So if you're doing all that, buying currencies, I guess, and Bitcoin, crypto, all that stuff.
Bitcoin, You'll pay capital gains on Bitcoin when you sell the Bitcoin. So let's say you, one of my examples, true story, on TikTok, the father saw my TikTok back in 2023. His son was going to go to SUNY school, State of New York school. The dad was going to sell 3 of his Bitcoins. He got into Bitcoin way back in 2017. I don't know how much he paid for the coins, but he was going to pay so much. When he saw this video, he works at the post office. His tax bill would have been over $253,000 because he bought the Bitcoin for, let's say, $1,000. He was going to sell it for $13,000, and you know everything else. So what he did was he started the trust. He transferred his account. I forget which exchange. It took us 7 weeks for them to accept the paperwork and everything else. So there was a little bit of time. So the son did get student loans. And then when we got everything changed over, then the father paid for him to go to college and it's not have to pay any taxes on that. And he's just like, you know, I didn't know this was, if he hadn't seen that TikTok video, he would have had a massive tax bill that he didn't know was coming.
And learn from my mistake. You know, don't
pay. I don't think anyone makes that mistake. A lot of people make that mistake, unfortunately.
Listen, I made it. I learned it. And now I know that not to make it again. But you're right. I mean, luckily, he was able to see that video and know that he was going to be liable and took, you know, action. And he saved all. I mean, again, if you're going to pay $250,000 and I'm paying $20,000, I'm still up $230, you know, in my pocket. I'm ahead of the game. So consider it, you know, a good deal, a good investment.
Well, his friend back in 2017, his friend asked, told him to put $1,000 into Bitcoin. He got 9 coins at that for $1,000. I mean, that's amazing. I wish I knew about Bitcoin back then.
Yeah, I think up to close to 70,000 right now. It's almost you know, close enough to the million mark there. So, yeah. You know, I mean, it's amazing how, well, 700,000, but the fact is it adds up quick. You know, I mean, it's a good place to be. And, you know, I just had a show about those things and that stuff is not going anywhere. You know,
it's going to be around and you know, quite honestly, anyone who's in crypto, they don't have to worry about it until they decide to sell their coins. That's when the taxes come through. And true story, last year, January 24th, the U.S. government changed the 1040 tax return paperwork. They put in a new question saying, did you make any money in NFTs or crypto? And if you said yes, it opened up nine more questions underneath of it, because the federal government's trying to figure out how they can make as much money from people investing in crypto.
Well, there you go, folks. If you're listening and you're into the cryptocurrency business and you're doing some exchanges and selling and profiting, know that you're going to have to pay some on that, you know, gain. So, you know, do your due diligence if it's big money. Again, by the way, for those of you who do the math and you listen to me, when I round it to 700,000, it's not 700,000. You know, it's only 9 Bitcoins at 1,000. So 9,000 times 70, whatever the number is. All right. It's going to be, what is it? 630. Just in case.
You're much better with math than I am. I'm dyslexic. I will never do math out loud like that. God invented a calculator.
I love my calculators too. But the reason I say that, because someone's just like going to like pick that one and say like, oh, it's not 700,000. I get it. It was just around, you know. But the idea is that it's big money if you invest it and you get there. But really the idea is make sure that if you're going to get good capital gain from, again, and thank you for really breaking that down to people that and to myself, that it's not just property, it's anything that you gain, you know, as a flip. So you buy, you know, stock is a big one. I mean, people do stock, you know, market stocks. and they don't realize that is, you know, if you make a big, you know, exchange and you make some serious moolah on it. Well, I mean, listen, here's the good news. You made $1 million, you pay $200,000, you're still $800,000 up. But why pay the $200,000 if you only pay $30,000, right? And save the other 170. Again, it's just math, folks. You know, it's not. I'd rather pay you the $20,000 and save $180,000 for that case, right? So
the gentleman I was telling you about who sold his house here in North Carolina because he fell and broke his hip. Unfortunately, his son died of opioid overdose. You know, all his baseball cards were in the attic. We had a Ken Griffey Jr. baseball card pristine. It was still the same packet with the gum. I mean, it was absolutely pristine. We sold it for $40,000. On that baseball card, he either saved $6,000 or he saved $8,000 because he already had the trust. I mean, you don't think about how the crazy things that happen or what you sell things for, you know. There are heirlooms all over the place. People, you know, but when the, how do I say this? What was his name? Schumacher? The senator from New York put it in front of the U.S. Senate.
Schumer.
Schumer. He put it in. A gentleman bought a statue at Sotheby's, and it was in a magazine that said this, you know, like, let's say he bought the statue for $1 million and he still owns the statue, but now it's worth $4 million. He wants to do cost of use, that, you know, that even though the statue's in his house and he hasn't sold it, it's increased by $3 million. Of course, it got, you know, it didn't become a law or anything, but there's crazy things happening all the time that people don't know about. If you don't mind me telling another story,
please.
One of my friends, I'm in a real estate group. In 2022, we're having a national meeting. The gentleman who's sitting next to me, Patrick, has 100 doors in Chicago. Madder than a wet hen, because one of his renter's dogs got out, bit the mailman. He hired an attorney. The attorney found 4 LLCs in Chicago. The mailman got paid $400,000 for the dog bite. Didn't find the other 96 houses. This past summer, Patrick's driving his RV. Knowing Patrick, it's $250,000 RV. I've never seen it. He couldn't slow down for traffic. He hits the car in front of him that gets squished into the car in front of her. No one's injured, but everyone jumps out. The insurance card has the trust name on it, that the RV is registered to the trust. Patrick's Illinois driver's license has his name on it. 6 weeks after the accident, he gets a lawsuit for $500,000, saying for her pain and suffering. The insurance company paid to fix her car, paid for everything else, but she wanted more money. Only thing Patrick had to do was send the first page of the trust to her attorney and said, I'm worth nothing. Everything's in the trust. You can't get anything. And Patrick is now one of my biggest spokesmen, saying, I just saved $500,000 in liability because it was his fault for the accident. His insurance rate probably went up, but he saved $500,000 from that lawsuit. That's an amazing story.
I mean, listen, accidents happen and I get it. But, you know, this whole thing about people trying to get a free buck is always there. It's real. And you're right. I mean, if you know, especially if you know that this person owns property, because these attorneys, they do their due diligence, they're going to find out.
I mean, if knowing Patrick, his RV is this beautiful RV that, you know.
Now with social media, you can do a quick dig in and you can find out anything about anyone, right? So I'm correct. Sure the attorneys have their own ways to find out, and they were, and so they know he's worth, you know, millions. So, hey, what's $500,000, right? But as you said, everything is a trust. I mean, you know, I can enjoy the money, but it's not on my name. Again, you know, I mentioned LLC and S corps and all those things. The reason you do these things, because all the liability goes to the corporation. You can bankrupt and that's it, but it's not your personal liabilities. But, you know, that's exactly. So this concept really does protect you on a personal level and certainly saves you the money on the back end. So it's a win-win for all. And, you know, again, you can do these things. And now, again, you basically have another entity that represents you, and you can tap into all that, and you can still be the one that's operational in the trust. You just don't have any liability on your personal. That's it. And that's really the concept.
I mean, You, if someone could try to sue me, but you can't get money, you can't get blood from a stone, I'm worth nothing. I mean, all my properties are in the trust. My vehicle's in the trust. Everything I own, like the pots and pans, the furniture, is in the trust. It's an amazing thing. The four ways it saves you taxes.
Ellie, I lost you. Yeah, I lost you there.
I'm so sorry.
No, I think you lost the connection there. But so we're gonna let you said I'm worth nothing, everything's in my trust, and then you froze. So let's start from there. So this way I can
Okay.
patch it. So
So,
just like,
do you know about the Corporate Transparency Act from the Treasury Department?
no.
This is an actual law. If you are an LLC, an S Corp or C Corp, or doing business as, you have until December 31st of 2024 to file the paperwork with the Treasury Department. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but who's the Treasury Department going to share this with? Is it going to go to the Homeland Security? Is it going to go to the IRS? If I'm a hacker from Russia or from China, I'm going to hack this. So with the Benson Financial Trust, you're going to save taxes. You're going to keep your information private. You're going to all lawsuits become frivolous from doing the 2024 Corporate Transparency Act. I mean, supposedly, I just heard this on a podcast, on a news thing earlier this week. The Treasury Department has been hacked 3 times already. And I'm like, yeah, if I'm a hacker, that's exactly where I'm going. They want your, what they're asking for is the name of your address, your phone number, your driver's license number, your passport number, and your EIN number. I mean, that's all the
that's
information
you.
In one location.
That's your identification. I mean,
exactly. And if you don't do it, this is really scary. So I want your American listeners to listen to this. If you don't do the paperwork, you could be fined $10,000 or 2 years in jail. I mean, please do the paperwork. That's all I'm going to ask y'all to do. If you don't get the trust, please do the paperwork, because I don't want you to have to go to jail because you didn't do paperwork for the Treasury Department. That's crazy.
I mean, certainly. So again, so this is for anybody that owns any of the above, LLC, S Corp, C Corp.
Correct.
Or DBAs. Correct. Or any, okay.
Or and, anyone making at least $80,000 a year or more for the business trust, it could save you 4 figures easily. Because I just want to I don't want to say I got lucky. I read an article about the Rockefellers and I researched it because I was mad. I had to get a HELOC. I mean, I paid off my house 3 months after paying off my house. I'm taking out a loan against my house. I'm like, this defeats the purpose of being completely,
free.
Debt free. I did what I needed to do to pay my taxes. I then start researching the Rockefellers Trust and calling different places. I finally called the law firm and they told me that they didn't know what I was talking about. And the next day, somebody, I picked up the phone, but somebody was calling me. And he's just like, oh, the law firm doesn't talk about it. If you go out to the law firm's website, they're accident attorneys is their number one thing. That's where they make the money. But, you know, I'm not trying to crow, but since September of 2000, I have saved 6 figures in taxes. And now I'm helping. I have a niece who graduated from a private college and she's working for a county and she's not paying her student loans. I'm helping her pay her student loans. And then she let her two sisters know that I'm helping her pay her student loans. So now I have to help the two sisters too. You know, I'm happy to help my family, but I don't know how she can afford an apartment, afford a car, afford a telephone, afford, you know, everything else. She's making less than $25,000 a year working for the county. And I'm like, oh, Samantha, you need a better job. You need to start doing something.
Oh, I mean, insurance, but you know, it's amazing because with the inflation and everything, the economy now, I mean, everything's expensive. So you're right. You got to save some money somewhere, you know, and you need to know the tricks.
Well, I'm laughing at her because she had an iPhone. I forget what iPhone she had, but it was so old that when she dropped it and she took it to the store, she bought a new iPhone 11 or something. And she's just like, it was expensive.
Oh no, they're expensive. Those things are about $1,200 a pop. So, you know,
they make fun of me because I have a Google phone. I'm like, I'm sorry, I have a Google phone.
Well, listen, I mean, there's Google phone. There's, you know, there's Android. I mean, it's an Android, so I mean, it works. There's Samsung, obviously. Samsung and iPhones are fighting each other, but there's plenty of other phones out there. You travel around the world, people don't all have iPhones. I mean, they have other things, you know. But that's really the case. And you go to a phone store. I mean, they do have a lot of other choices, you know, that you just,
correct,
you know, and they do exactly the same.
You know, she's young. She's 27 years old. She wants to go out with friends. And I mean, I don't know how she could afford $900 a month in student loans alone. I mean, that's a lot of money.
That's a big that's a big nut. That's a ooh, I felt pain just hearing that. But you know, well, so thank you. And I know you mentioned earlier about, like, again, from lawsuits, you worth nothing because everything is in the trust, so you're safe there. Nobody can do anything about it. Thank you for sharing with us the idea of this filing 2024. I mean, nobody wants to go to jail for not filing information, and certainly not, you know, for something like that. I mean, again, supposed to be the Treasury, you know, the IRS. I mean, they have our information in the first place. So,
the Chinese have our information too. I mean, quite honestly, they probably don't want to read my texts. I'm a boring person. I'm on TikTok. I do the six same videos every single day, but I just talk about different clients. And yeah, but I just don't want all my information in one location. I want to make it a little bit hard for people.
Well, again, you're a ghost technically on the trust. So, you know, nobody knows unless they, and even that, I think, you know, it's very difficult. I mean, I'm sure the data is stored somewhere, who owns the trust. So, I mean, there's probably a lot of back doors and firewalls and all the stuff they have to hack. But hackers are hackers. Okay. They can do better. But I mean, to your point, they go the easy way, right? They'll find something that is easier, shortcut to get all that. But that's another thing. I mean, really a good point is that, you know, your trust is the trust. I mean, it's just a fictive, you know, entity. So it's not even you, and there's nothing really. Your money is protected there, and it is still protected, right? Like in the bank, right? FDIC, all the stuff is still applying to the account. It's not like, you know, it's a different
and
thing.
And then the neat thing is you get to name the trust. So like, my family knows the two names. They mean something to us. But if you heard the two names of my trust, you're like, what the heck does that mean? You know, and you know, I had a client who purposely made it, spelled their last name backwards. I'm like, okay, that works for us. So it's whatever you want to name the trust, it's your decision.
Call it Venus. I don't know. Call it Mars, right? I mean, you can call it whatever you want. So, you know, as long as you know what it is, right? Well, again, I mean, it's a good way, I mean, to just, you know, protect your assets and, you know, protect your liabilities, and that's it. I mean, and it's for generations to come, as you said. This is not just you, really.
You're leaving a legacy for future generations, exactly. I mean, my brand new great niece has no idea. I mean, every Christmas I'm buying silver coins for all my nieces and nephews, so they have something to have in the trust. And I hope my 4-week-old grandniece, she'll do something and be happy to have the trust there for her. You know, the future's hers to choose, if that makes sense.
Does the trust come with like a will and like, you know, I guess direction, instructions?
The trustee makes the decision. So, you know, I'm not saying I would do this, but I have 11 nieces and nephews. I can leave 90% to my oldest nephew, who's going to be my trustee, and then 1% to all my other nieces and nephews of my estate. They can't say that they can't contest the will or anything else. It's all spelled out in the trust. There is documentation, like a will in there, if I want to leave a certain piece of jewelry or something else.
So you get to give instructions.
Exactly.
All right. So again, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's a comprehensive, you know, document or protective, yes, you know, piece that includes all the wishes that you want in the will and that
it's
you want
to comprehensive. And there's an entire team that works with you to make sure things are there. You know, I'm a representative of the law firm, but there's somebody, Julie, who gets you your EIN number and the letter for the bank. There's Anna Maria and her team that works with the people. Most of my clients take about 2 months to learn how to work with the trust, but they can always call myself, Anna Maria, Julie, the law firm, just to get their questions answered, because things come up all the time. And, you know, it's not, you're just, I've had several phone calls where someone has spent a lot of money for this trust and they can't get a hold of the attorney or anybody else. And, you know, I can give them general answers, but I'm like, I don't know your trust. I don't know exactly what you have, you know, but I want to help anybody who sets an appointment with me.
So, and again, 50 states, anybody can be, you know, working with you guys, or
correct.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
Puerto Rico, you know, one of my clients, true story, he moved his family from St. Louis to Puerto Rico because he didn't want to pay taxes anymore, but he still has federal taxes to pay. Unfortunately, his oldest son is a type 1 diabetic and they couldn't get insulin enough for him. He knows me from one of my real estate groups. They moved back to St. Louis where all the family is. He got the trust, and now the family, you know, the son's being taken care of. and he's back in his house that he absolutely loves, or actually in his wife's house that they absolutely love. You know, you don't have to move to South Dakota if you don't want to, or move to Texas if you don't want to.
That was great. All right. Well, listen, so I know you also, you talk on podcasts, you do all the stuff, but you also are on Win-Win Women TV.
Correct. Correct. It's a women's television group. I've been doing it for about 2 years. Every Monday, 9 o'clock Pacific time, I do my half hour presentation. One of the things I try to teach there, I'm getting nonprofit status for it, but I have what's called the Circle of Wealth in 5 Simple Steps. And that's what I'm teaching there, to help people get out of debt. A news article I read on bankrate.com said 80% of Americans have more than $90,000 in debt and are not saving 10% for retirement. Those are horrible, horrible numbers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you listen to them now, you know, it's like, wow. I mean, it is. We're in a sad state. That's all I have to say. As a nation, right, we're not doing good right now. Financially is not doing good. Well, I mean, you hear it.
You're a Medicare broker. Do they start cursing you when you tell them that they have to take some of their Social Security check to pay for Part B? I mean, the nicest grandma on the phone will start cursing you and like, it's not me. The federal government makes that decision. So, yes.
And that's deducted directly from Social Security. There's nothing we can do about it. I mean, they just have to understand it. There are programs that do Part B payback. So, you know, that's the easy sell.
But,
okay.
But, I mean, there's people who are living on less than $1,200 a month.
Oh, definitely.
When they turn 65. I don't know about you, Hurricane H. I can't do that. I like things too much.
I can tell you, I don't even know how anyone can do that. I mean, I don't care who you are, where you are. I mean, $1,200 is not. I mean, even rent today is not
rent,
that. I mean,
dude, I moved from Arizona to North Carolina, and I'm shocked how expensive food is here. This is a true story. I went to one Target on Sunday, and I went to another Target today. Two different Targets and watermelons. What I can get for $2 in Arizona, one Target had it for $4.99, the other Target had it for $5.99. I'm like, what's the difference? $1 more for a watermelon? What
location? Difference? I guess it's a different neighborhood.
I'm so cheap. I wouldn't drive back to the other Target just to check to make sure the price wasn't gone up by $1. But I'm just like, that's crazy. I mean, eggs. I mean, lettuce. Again, I shop in South Carolina because it's cheaper, because food prices are so expensive.
Well, yeah, yeah, but to be close enough, you know, to do that. Yes. Not everybody can do that. you know?
They made fun of me in Arizona because where I live, I was outside of Phoenix, and I would drive into Phoenix because Phoenix doesn't have food tax. And everyone's just like, you have a closer Walmart. I'm like, yeah, but I'm driving to 75th Avenue because it's tax-free. So I grew up in military, going to military bases, not paying taxes on my food.
Well, listen, there's nothing wrong with saving, finding a good deal. So that's the bottom line. I mean, anyone wants and loves a good deal and a good freebie. If you can, why not? Right? You know, so your website is thetrustisyou.com. That's the website where people can go.
Trustisyou.com, correct. And then there I do a Monday night question and answer every single Monday. The second Tuesday of every month, I do a live 4 o'clock East Coast time, Save U.S. Taxes. And then my class on the Great Discovery is just my name, Sally Gibbon, www.sallygibbon.com. I've got 3 articles from Forbes there. I've got that chart for 50 states, a recording of one of my classes, because my goal is to teach as many U.S. business owners, U.S. 1099 income earners, and U.S. investors, how the secret of the rich. I mean, people should know this. I mean, maybe it's not for you, but if you want to start saving taxes legally, I want to teach as many people as possible.
I love what you said, the secret of the rich. And yet, I mean, it is available to everyone. It's just that people are not educated on it enough.
True story. Do you know a networking group called JV Community? I'm a member of it. And one of the guys who runs it, his girlfriend works for a Manhattan law firm that has the Spendthrift Trust. They will not talk to anybody who does not have $8 million in their bank account. I mean, when I started this trust, I was not that rich. I was just mad as hell excuse me. I was just so mad I had to take out a loan, a HELOC off my house. I'm like, this defeats the purpose of being, being free, being not having any debt or anything. So I, when I started, I did have to take money. I did use some money from one of my Roth IRA to do it. But I paid myself back, and I've saved so much in 3.5 years with it.
Speaking of which, are you able to move all your assets from the IRAs into the trust?
I've kept my stuff in the Roth IRA. I kept it there, but the stuff in my traditional IRA, yes, I made all those assets over, and I made sure I paid myself back, or I paid my IRA back.
Well, you still have your IRAs. You just basically, correct. You know, so that's still there. Still
I'm not
earning.
59 and a half yet. So I'm going to wait until I'm 59 and a half so I don't have to pay taxes on things.
Okay. So you're playing. So it's good. That's just, so you took the money.
Two more years ago.
You're young. So you moved the money, you took care of business, you got yourself out of debt, you put it back in there, and you still have it. And now you collect it later with no penalties. That's a smart way. See, folks, I mean, you know, I think, as I said earlier, you know, this section today, I mean, this whole discussion today will touch about how to save money and just be aware of a few things. And I think a lot of tips have been shared, you know, today by Sally. And these are like valuable, you know, things that you know and can really use for real. I mean, and by the way, if not you, maybe someone else. And again, you don't have to be rich to do this either. I mean, think about it this way. If you don't have the money and you know you're going to make the money, and you know you're going to have a transaction that's going to be big enough where you're going to have a liability of over $20,000, then you know the deal. If it's more than $20,000, let's say $30,000, well, you're ahead of the game. You pay your trust, you got $10,000 left, and then any other transaction after that is yours free. So, you know, you can't go wrong with the math. Or either way, you're going to pay the $30,000 to Uncle Sam. So $10,000, you know, to you, versus 30,000, that is all gone. So you're cool. But the fact is that just the minimum, minimum you need. If not, if you're looking at a transaction, as you said, you bought a house, now it's worth a million, then, and I'm not talking about your, as you said, your residential property where you married. This is like investment properties. And if that's the case, then you know the deal. All right. Well, Sally, any last words of wisdom to share with us, you know, in addition to what you shared today?
I just want to say, do something. I mean, I keep talking about my watershed month. I should have gotten involved in real estate investing years earlier. I'm glad I finally did something. But just don't sit on the couch and be a couch potato. Don't sit and watch Netflix day after day after day. There's so many ways out there to make money that you find something to do. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, thank you, sir. But remember, someone can say, well, you had something to withdraw money from to reinvest. I don't have nothing. I mean, that, you know, that's a reality of things too. But again, as you said, you know, maybe it's time to start building an IRA or things like that. I mean, there's a way. I mean, maybe not today, but again, this is an advice that can go with us long away. Things change overnight from good to bad, bad to good. So just plan for those days and just start. I mean, if you have nothing today, it's okay, but just know that you can build for the future and start up. You got to start at a point or, you know, another. So just might as well start today. So again, for those people that may feel that, well, I'm not, the circumstances are different, you know, use your circumstances, your current circumstances, but just take the advice and try to apply it. Do what you did. You learn. I mean, you figure out a way. This podcast can change things. This talk show can at least give you some links, you know, to a new way out. And again, the Trust Is You is the website, or SallyGimmon.com is the other one. I mean, look it up. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Check out the work and see what's up, you know. Or again, if you know someone that can do it. And now, the other thing, if you are starting a business, you're starting to see some lucrative, you know, revenue, maybe that's where you need to be. Have the business end of the trust and protect your seven-year assets. So that's it. I mean, you know, I think we've heard quite a bit. We've extended our hour, you know, way past the hour. But you know what? It was worth every minute.
Oh, I have to apologize. I talk too much.
Oh, no. Please don't worry about it. Again, this is for our audiences. You know, I gain, you know, knowledge. They gain knowledge. We all gain knowledge. You know, at the end of the day, it's all what we want. We want resources. We want information. And that's great. And it's free. I mean, that's the easy part. I mean, you don't have to pay for this stuff, you know, just to get the information. And you're not going to hear a lot of this on standard, you know, I guess, media, right? So might as well get it from somewhere, you know, that is available and from trust, you know, source, literally, no pun intended. But, you know, so Sally, thank you so much, you know,
thank
for
you,
being with
Parking
us.
H. I appreciate you having me on the show. I really liked it.
I appreciate you, and thank you so much for being with us. And folks, I hope you enjoyed today. And, you know, again, it's money. Everybody needs it. Everybody can use it. And if you're a part, I would say for anybody else outside the U.S., there are similar laws and similar practices and things like that. So please do check
them.
To
tell you the truth, this comes from England, way back when King Henry VIII started the Church of England. So if you're in Canada, you're in Australia, you're in New Zealand, if you're the Commonwealth, you should have something like this. I just don't know the laws in different countries.
And I'm sure it's everywhere. Just do your due diligence. So whatever you hear in this podcast or to watching the show today, you know, or anytime after this, you know, just look it up. You know, how can you protect your ass, especially if there is taxes and things like that. Now, it might be different, but there's definitely, you know, something out there. Just do it. I mean, worst case, there's nothing. You have no liability. You're good. But if there is something, now at least you know that there's some tricks that you can apply. So that's all there is. All right, American H, you know, as always, thank you for watching, for listening in. We'll be talking soon. New day, new show, new topic.